Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Well, a couple weeks ago I had kind of an interesting experience, and it just kind of refreshed some things in me. And it's not like this never happens, but it was just an example that I thought maybe you would relate with. I was having sort of a bad day. Anybody ever have a bad day? I know you guys are looking pretty holy out there, so you probably aren't maybe going to relate to this first part. But I had been trying since like the Wednesday before, and this was now Monday, to get a prescription. And it was basically a face wash, so don't, you know, I'm not addicted to anything. Okay. So anyway, but it was a prescription. And I was having trouble getting it. And so I spent at least between the previous Wednesday and this is now Monday, I'd spent about 4 hours going around to different pharmacies, calling, trying to get this particular prescription. And I was just getting that, I don't know, that runaround, I guess, because it wasn't a real common item. It's not really, well, like face wash, I guess it's a drug. But anyway, it wasn't real common. And so I was having trouble finding it. And so it was called into one branch. I went to that branch and they didn't have it. So they said they thought their other branch had. So I went to that branch and we physically drove there because I wasn't getting answers on the phone. And then because it was a different branch, then I had to contact the provider to send the prescription there. And it was just, it was very frustrating. Amen? And so, and then I tried calling, and it was press one, press two, give your date of birth, you know, commit your only child. No, it was just, it was really just a lot of runaround. And then the recording said that they had my prescription. So then when I went there and waited in line, well, then they didn't have my prescription. And so in my frustration, that poor pharmacist, I said, why does it say you have my prescription when you don't? And then I said, I'm sorry, I'm having a bad day. And it's just sometimes you get so frustrated with, you know, the recordings and the inept systems and the poor guy. I mean, he's probably more frustrated with their system than I was because he's dealing with it with every customer. But it was just not starting out as a really great day. So then my husband and I went to Costco because we had some items that you can only get at Costco, right? And so we went to Costco, and we'd just been there a few weeks earlier, but when we came in, our cards had been deactivated and we couldn't come in, our membership cards. And we're like, this is strange, we were just here. So we called the business office and they had misunderstood and had canceled our cards. So then we got them reactivated and it was gonna take some time. We went ahead and went to lunch, came back. So we're standing in lines to get new cards. And so that all got worked out. And I thought I had a simple question about my glasses in the optometry department, and that took about another half hour. And so my husband, who really does not like Costco anyway, we were about 2.5 hours in Costco. So we got home that night, and it was just, it had been a really frustrating day. And then to top it off, we took the dog for a walk, and another dog tried to attack her, and she went into a seizure. You know, it was just not... So we came home that day, and Mike goes, this was really a bad day. And I said, we're having a bad day. And I mean, Jesus didn't fall off the throne, and we didn't lose our salvation. I didn't cuss at the pharmacist, just so you know. But it was what you would call a frustrating day, a very frustrating day. Amen. Anybody have a day like that? We're living on the planet, right? So the next morning I got up and I just felt so depleted in my spirit. I just felt so just like aching for just some refreshing time in the presence of the Lord. And so I immediately made a beeline to my quiet place. I have a office, and I just began to pray in the spirit and get into God's word, and his presence just came in so sweetly, and he just filled me up and refreshed me. And out of that came actually this message, where I just wanted to give you some, maybe some practical ways that you can be filled with his presence. You know, you might have experienced God's presence coming into a worship service like this at this church. Our worship is always amazing. Amen? There's always such a great, a beautiful presence of the Lord. But maybe you don't always experience that, or maybe you have even never experienced that in a quiet time with just you and Jesus. So I want to give you some keys. They're going to be a bit practical, because I want you to be able to experience the fullness of his presence when you spend time with God, and to walk out from that place of his presence and time and his word filled to overflowing with something to give to the world. Amen? Are you good? Are you with me? Well, there's a scripture in Exodus 33:14, and you know, Moses here, he'd asked God the question, who will go with me to lead these 2 million whining Israelites through the desert? That's kind of my translation. But he had said, who will go with me to lead these people? You know, again, his job, he had about 2 million whiners that he was going to have to get across the desert. Would that be an intimidating role? Would that be an intimidating job, would you say? Yes. Amen. And so in Exodus 33:14, God's talking here. It says, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you, he was saying. I'm going to be with you, and you're going to do it in my rest. I cannot imagine leading 2 million people. And they were very rebellious, always whining, always complaining, wanting to build idols, you know, complaining about the miracles they were getting every day. I mean, manna falling from heaven, and they got tired of it. And so they're going to grumble, we want meat. And anyway, so that was a daunting task, would you agree? And so here God says, my presence is going to go with you. And when we have the presence of God, and we sense that on the inside, and there's that knowing that he's with us, we know that because the word says that, but there's that sense, that tangible sense of his presence. When we go out into our everyday and we're tasked with things that can be very overwhelming in the workplace, in relationships, sometimes at church, to know that his presence is with you and he's helping you makes all the difference in the world. Do you agree? Do you agree? So how do we come into God's presence? Here, I just want to give you some practical keys today, and I believe this will help you. And if you haven't experienced it, or maybe you're running on low and it's been a while, I hope some of this will stir you up. Number one, let the ache draw you to him. When I woke up that second day and I felt so depleted in my spirit, I could have just gotten up crabby. I've done that. Do I hear an amen, honey? No, but I could have just got up crabby and just run it on low all day and kind of maybe at that evening looked at the word a little bit or something. But there was such an ache in me that I didn't want to fill it with anything else. And we can do that. You know, we just feel this ache, kind of this, I don't know, just dissatisfied feeling. So let's like go to the refrigerator and check that out. Nah, there's nothing there. Let's, you know, flip through Netflix. No. You know, there's something inside you that's kind of restless and dissatisfied. And so we want to fill it with other things many times. Oh, let me get into my hobby. Let me pull out the puzzles. Nothing wrong with any of that. But when we're looking to satisfy that deep ache that only God can satisfy with other things, you're going to be left unsatisfied. Do I hear an amen? And so when you sense that, and really, you need to have a good discipline in your life of being in the Word every day and spending time with God every day, honestly. But many times, the Bible says that deep calls to deep. Many times the Holy Spirit's wooing us into a deeper time with Him, or maybe to pull out the stops and spend a little bit more time with Him. And there's that restlessness that we're trying to stuff and fill with other things when only He and His very presence can do that. And when you've experienced that beautiful, wonderful preciousness of the presence, the tangible presence of God, oh, it leaves you hungry. Nothing else will satisfy. No, you'll be wrecked. You'll be wrecked for life. Because He's made a place on the inside of us, a void that only He can fill. Amen? The Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:19. This is in the Amplified Version. And I'm praying this for you today. I'll have some prayer at the end, and we'll pray this for you today. But in Ephesians 3:19, it says, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, not just a head thing, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Would you like to be wholly, completely filled and flooded with God Himself? The Bible says that you are. And we know that positionally. God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're born again of His Spirit. If you've entered into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're filled and flooded with God Himself. You're wall to wall God on the inside. He's there in His fullness. But then when we get distracted with everything else, and our mind's here and our mind's there, and we're not making choices that really put God first, we kind of stuff that sense of His presence. And then we act many times just like we did before we were saved. Everybody say, ouch. And so as we begin to walk with God and we allow Him to reignite that on the inside, we allow His presence to fill us to where there's a sense of strength on the inside, then you go forward throughout your day and He can use you and you can be a great witness for Him. Amen? So sometimes, you know, people have not really backslid to where they're really off in deep sin, but Jesus just isn't quite first place anymore. And they might, you know, you might come to church regularly because you're kind of in that routine and it always does you good, the message always does you good. But you've sort of stuffed that ache for so long that you're kind of numb. One place in the Word, several places, it talks about being hard-hearted. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that, because what happens when you don't feel an ache? What happens when you don't sense that draw of the Holy Spirit to come into His presence? Many times the course of this world can just flat out cause us to be weary if you're not drawing your strength regularly from the Holy Spirit. And so there'll be you won't be so perceptive to that void and that ache and want to go after God, because you've stuffed it and numbed it for so long. I wanted to give you show you an example. I have a picture of a sea anemone. And when we were in Northern California, we would go to the tide pools up there in Santa Cruz, and we'd go to the tide pools at Crystal Cove too with our grandkids and stuff. And the sea anemone is really interesting. When it gets things inside it, it closes up and it eats it, you know. And some sea anemones you aren't supposed to touch. But anyway, I have a little video of someone touching a sea anemone and what happens when they touch it. Can we show that, Jason? So here's a sea anemone, And I hope I'm not in the way or rude, everybody. So he's sticking his finger in there. I think that's kind of brave. We usually just touch around the edges and watch it close. But it closes, and if you keep bugging it too much, it'll stay closed for quite a while. That's pretty good camouflage there too, huh? But anyway, it stays like that. It stays closed. And what happens many times is through the course of life, you've been rejected, you've rejected. This person said ugly words to you. You have unforgiveness with that person. Things have happened along the way to where you've been kind of prodded and prodded, and eventually you just close up. And then we have a problem. Because walls go up, relationships are broken, severed, and God needs to do a work in your heart. And so this is what happens to the sea anemone. Eventually, you mess with it too much, it'll just stay closed up for a really long time. And God wants our hearts to be open. He wants them to be tender. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." So it's saying here, you have to break up the fallow ground. God's not going to do it for you. Because one thing I've learned about God, and this can answer some questions for you, is he's given us something so godlike and so amazing, and it's called a free will. And he reverences that so much. See, he created us in his image so we could fellowship with him. And he honors our free will so much, he will not make us do anything. He won't make you go to heaven. You choose to go to hell, he has to allow it. Because that's how he's made you. You're an eternal being and you have a free will. Sometimes people are like, why did God let this happen? Why did God let that happen? But we make choices that set us on certain paths. I'm not able to answer all your questions in that area. But many times, we make choices that set us in certain directions, and we're actually reaping the consequences of some bad decisions. And God has to just let us, because those are the choices that we've made with our free will. Are you with me? But he says for us to break up the fallow ground. When you sense your heart is hardened, and these are some ways to know, you're just not as excited about coming to church. You get in the Word and it's just like, you know, maybe I'll go read a good book. You, if it's a choice to watch maybe an awesome passion concert or something on TV, you'd rather really kind of watch the more vexing series that, you know, as long as you forward through the bad parts, it's okay. But it really doesn't edify you. Am I meddling tonight? I think I'm meddling. But our heart gets hard to where we're not excited about the things of God. He's really not first place in our hearts. And so we don't even sense that draw of the Holy Spirit to come into his presence because we've kind of shut down. We've become like that sea anemone. And we're not tender to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Well, so how do we break up that hard heart? How do we break up that fallow ground? Fallow ground is hard dirt, hard ground that hasn't had water for a very long time. And so it's hard. I've done just a little bit of gardening, and I know it's much easier when you set the hose out on the ground before you start digging. Amen? So in James 4, 8 through 10, it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Now listen to this. It's kind of interesting because he's talking to Christians. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." I call it on-your-face fellowship. If your heart is hardened, and some of those things I said was hitting your nails on the head, then you have to do something to to get your hard heart into a better place. And nothing will soften hard soil, like I said, except nothing will do it like water will. And it's those tears of repentance that you come to God, and maybe you haven't done anything really blatant, or you're not often sinning, you haven't, you know, shacked up with anybody or whatever. But in your heart, you know there's not that tenderness toward the things of God. Then you come to him and you say, God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I'm not sensing your presence. It's not a shortage on your end. It's got to be something on my end. And it says that you'll have a time of lamenting and mourning and weeping. And those tears literally begin to soften your hard heart and get you into a place that you're excited and you want to spend time with your Heavenly Father. Are you with me? And he says that in doing that, you humble yourself in his sight, and he will lift you up. It's actually pride that hardens our heart toward the things of God. Because a little bit of consciousness has set in that, well, really, I can do things on my own. I really don't need God. I mean, these are small decisions. I can do this. And you've lost that real dependency on him, that you're letting him be first place in your heart and in your life. So you're humbling yourself in his sight. And then from that place, he lifts you up. And things are fresh. And you're ready to just spend time with him. Amen? Again, nothing else satisfies. Nothing is so exhilarating as the sweetness of his presence, where he assures you that he's in control and that you can rest in him. So our hearts are now softened through repentance. So again, how do we come into his presence? We come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. Psalm 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful to him and bless his name. An ungrateful heart will harden your heart. That's what was wrong with the children of Israel. They were ungrateful, and it made God angry. And so if you want to come into his gates, if you want to come into his courts, you begin to thank him. And you can be very pragmatic with that, very practical with that. I've sat down before and just with a pen and paper just started writing down, and that's a good journaling exercise, to just write down everything you're thankful for, the air you breathe, the water that just runs freely anytime during the day. I've been on the mission field. That's not always the case. You know, you have hot water most of the time. All of the things that you are thankful for, and you begin to thank him and praise him. And from that place of being thankful to God, let it carry through in your family. Be thankful for the little things they do. It's going to help your marriage. Be thankful when your husband takes out the garbage. Don't take that for granted. Say, thank you, honey. You know, show thanks in your relationships for things that you are truly thankful for. And you're going to see your heart change. Amen? In the Bible, gates symbolize entry, access, and boundaries, while courts represent a sacred place, a sacred space, a place of worship and communion with God. Entering the gates is an invitation to come into God's presence with gratitude and reverence, while the courts are a space for worship and fellowship. You know, we're coming into God's presence, the King of the universe. There's a protocol that you have to have even to, you know, see a president or a dignitary. He created everything we see, everything we know. We cannot even fathom the vast intelligence of our beautiful, wonderful Creator. Many times when we're doing things with our grandkids, we'll just look at something and that's really unusual, like a weird animal, like a platypus or something, and say, God must have been having a good day that day. You know, just that these things were conceived in the heart of God, and he created them. Such beauty. I've thought about it before. There's beautiful wildflowers on the backside of mountains that no one else sees. But it's just that came out of the Father God, that he loves beauty, that he create, that he's a creator, and he loves to bless his children. Amen? So we come into his, we come before him thanking him and praising him for his goodness and all that he is. We begin to talk to him, wait on him, and just sense his voice and what he wants to speak to our hearts. You may feel led to read a portion of scripture. Of course, the Spirit and the Word agree. Always have your Bible handy when you're coming into prayer with God, because many times the Holy Spirit will bring a certain scripture to your remembrance, and he'll help you find it, and it'll be exactly the wisdom that you need. Amen? Hebrews 4:16 says that we can come boldly before his throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. His mercies are new every morning. Don't you need mercy? Amen. Don't you need grace? And we find that at his throne. So as you're coming into his presence with thanksgiving and praise and worshiping him for who he is and all that he does, you're going to sense that strengthening presence of the Lord as you're before his very throne. And then as you're there, begin to pray in the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, begin to pray in other tongues. I'm going to talk about that just for a moment, because it is such a beautiful addition to your prayer life if you haven't experienced that, and into ushering in the presence of God, to be able to pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, 14a says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. It's one thing to pray by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit in how you should pray in your understanding in English or Spanish, whatever your first language is. But then to have a time where you pray in the Spirit, which is actually praying in tongues. And if you've come to the Lord and been filled with the Spirit, then there's 9 supernatural gifts of the Spirit. And the first that we see, and first one we see in manifestation, is that you can speak in other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him, not even you. However, in the Spirit, he or she speaks mysteries. And that word mysteries means divine secrets. See, sometimes you've had a bad day because there's actually been some demonic activity messing with you. Do you know you have an enemy of your soul? Absolutely. And I mean, I'm just talking about like trivial things, not being able to get a prescription filled. But the enemy many times has a very calculated, very bad design for members of your family, for your own relationship with your husband or you know, he has plans to really do some nasty stuff because he's a bad devil. And so when you pray in the Spirit, you don't know what you're saying. You're praying in the Holy Spirit, but God knows. It's their divine secrets. God knows what you're praying. You don't, but also the devil doesn't. And many times I just imagine it's like I'm clearing the airwaves, praying in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. See, you're in a spiritual battle fighting an enemy you can't even see. And so many times we don't really know what we should pray for as we ought. We know how to pray. We've been given a lot of instruction, but we don't know what to pray for as we ought. We're not sure what's going on with our kids. We're not sure what's going on with that supervisor at work. We're not sure why doors seem to always be closed when you're ready for a promotion. We don't know why some of these things are happening in our lives and how to pray move heaven in on the scene. It says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that means that there's no words to express, no articulate language to express what is going on in the spirit. The Spirit-filled Bible says, those sighs, groans, loud cries and tears, and other expressions of our hearts and spirits in prayer are taken by the Holy Spirit and made effectual intercession before the throne of God. So you spend time, you talk to God, you praise Him, you worship Him, you're coming into His presence, and you begin to just thank Him for everything that He's done and all that He is doing, and you're extolling Him and lifting your heart to Him. And then you come into a time of just praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, and you lift things up to God and you say, God, I don't know what's going on in this situation, but I just want to lift it up in the Spirit so that you can work out what needs to go on there. And you're trusting the Holy Spirit to pray through you according to the perfect will of God. Do you hear me? Are y'all here? Did you go home? Okay. So it's a powerful prayer tool. And that's why there's limits on how it should be handled in a corporate service like this. Because it's really more about you and your prayer time than it is about speaking outwardly and someone interpreting. Okay? So there's so much. I could spend the whole message on this, actually, those people that know me. But I just want to encourage you that I talk to people all the time that maybe got filled with the Spirit, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, shouted in tongues a little bit or had a Holy Ghost hoedown, and then haven't spoken since. When it's a powerful prayer language that God has given you to do some damage to the kingdom of darkness in prayer. And we need to use what He's given us. He's given us powerful tools, but we need to use them. Amen? Yes. Amen. Whew. So when you pray in tongues, you pray in the Spirit, and you pray about and for things that you don't even know about. You don't even know what you're praying, but the Holy Spirit is making perfect intercession according to the will of God. Then when you're waiting on God, after you've been praying in the Spirit and you're resting in His presence, many times He'll speak a tender word to your heart. He'll drop a scripture in your heart. He'll give you a sense of direction if you're seeking Him on that. It's a beautiful time of fellowshipping with Him. Amen? Amen. So let's look at some results of spending time in His presence. Number one, you'll be strengthened. You'll have joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore." So in His presence is fullness of joy. We need the joy of the Lord because it's actually our strength. Like Nehemiah 8:10 says, God was speaking here and He said, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those of whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our God. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." If you're weary in well-doing, you need the joy of the Lord that comes from His very presence. You need to spend time in the presence of God. Amen. Number two, first, His presence strengthens you. Two, it refreshes you. It will give you rest. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." In this hour, we have a desperate need to get into the presence of God, because all the kingdoms are shaking. Do you understand? I believe every prophecy has been fulfilled of the return of the Lord Jesus. And there's going to be a whole lot happening before He returns. So this is a sensitive time that we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit and alert and praying and believing God to have His perfect will in our lives and those that we know. Amen? And we need that time of refreshing in his presence, because I'm telling you, you know, 20 minutes of the news and you're just like, oh my gosh, what is happening here? Are you with me? Are you on the same planet with me? Are you? Are we here in this together? This is happening in our world right now. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, all of the above. Because we're in the last of the last days. And so this isn't a game. You can't play like I'm going to play church and act this way this day and this way another day. No. We're in the battle. And we want to win in the spirit. And we need his refreshing presence. Are you with me? You're not going to get it anywhere else. You need him. It's not going to be in a relationship. It's not going to be in the refrigerator. It's not going to be in your fitness regime. It's not going to be in any of those things. You're going to have to get refreshed by the presence of the Lord. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. You'll come away from that place confident. You'll have a strong sense of your right standing with God. He's made you righteous. God has made, positionally, you are as saved as you're ever going to be. You've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. You're born again of the Spirit of God. But when you spend time in his presence, you come away from that place with a confidence, a strength, that you have been made right, that you are the very righteousness of God in him. And it causes boldness. Peter went from wimpy, denying Jesus three times at the cross. A few days later, he's now bold because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right through Christ." Another translation says, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He's made us righteous. He's made us justified. As Pastor Dan says, just as if I'd never sinned. You are pure in God's sight. But it's in coming and enjoying his presence that you have a sense of it that helps strengthen you. Yes, it's true positionally, but what Paul was praying in Ephesians would be that you would experience the sense of that righteousness. Amen? You'll be focused. You'll have direction. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." What you do in your prayer time with God, the decisions that you make going forth from that place, having spent time with him, time in his word, being led by the Spirit, will determine the course of your life. Amen? There's a scripture in Proverbs 5:21 that says, "For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes." And that's what I was talking about earlier, about our free will. Until we call upon the name of the Lord, until we allow him to come into our decision making, and we are humble and totally dependent on him, he just has to sit and watch us be foolish many times. And praise God for his grace, we'd all be dead. But it says that he sees clearly what we do, examining every path we're taking. It's like, there he goes. Wonder if he's going to call on me. Oh, she's acting crazy. I'm right here. Are you with me? Proverbs 19:3, it's not on the overhead, but it says, "Foolishness twists his way, then his heart frets against the Lord." So many times we're just reaping some bad consequences from some bad decisions. And that, "God, why'd you let this happen?" He let it happen because you wanted it to happen, and you made a decision that put you on that path. Am I meddling real good tonight? So we need his presence. We need his wisdom that comes from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God. Are you with me? So that we can walk in his ways and receive the fruit of those decisions. When we spend time in God's presence, guarding our heart, we keep it before God so that he's allowed to convict us when we are making a wrong decision. as I said, when you spend time with him and there's that sense of your righteousness, there's that sense that if God is for me, who can be against me? And that's why you come out of that place so confident, because you've just spent time with the King of the universe. And there's that sense that he's with me, he's filled me, he's going before me, he's helping me, and I'm going to have the wisdom of God operating in my life. Amen? And most importantly, by spending time in God's presence, you'll be blessing the heart of your Heavenly Father. You'll be blessing his heart. That's actually the most important reason that we should spend time with him. I love Revelation 4:11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things." This is the King James. "And for thy pleasure," for your pleasure, "they are and were created." Did you know that we were created because God wanted a man, a woman to fellowship with? We were created really to have fellowship with God. So that's why there's that big void in you, that unless you fill it up with conversation, with fellowship, with spending time in his presence, you're just going to ache and you're just going to keep stuffing it with the wrong stuff. Are you with me? I remember, I've shared this before, and I'm just going to sidestep for a minute here. I remember in my hippie days, yes, I haven't always been old. In my hippie days, in the 70s, I remember coming back to the Lord. I'd been raised in church, but got away from God, and I was a little, you know, pot smoker. I was too chicken to do the bad, the hard stuff, but anyway. Too much information. But coming back to God and sensing the beautiful, wonderful power of his presence, the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, I ran back to my little hippie pad and I told all my hippie friends, and they're all stoned from the night before. I said, "That is like coming down." And I understood what drugs, what all substance, what all, drinking, what all these things are. There's a part of you that God has designed to be at the maximum. He wants us full of joy. He wants us full of peace. He wants us to know the joy of hearing his voice and walking with him and making wonderful decisions based on his wisdom. And that's why he's had the martyrs die to preserve the word of God for us. And when you're filled up with very God himself, there's no more ache to stuff it with all that other stuff. And so what the enemy does is he sidetracks us and gets us addicted to those things so that we stuff it with all the wrong stuff and we don't let that ache drive us to him. Are you with me? So I don't know where you're at tonight, but there may be some of that in your life too. You need the beauty and the wonder and the amazing majesty, there's not words to express it, of God's presence in your life in a tangible way. And from that place, you will need nothing else. Now, don't get me wrong. We're living in flesh bodies. Nothing wrong with hobbies. You got to eat to stay alive. All of the things we do in the natural, it's okay. As long as he's first place in our heart, as long as we're making room for him and putting him first and allowing him to fill us to overflowing. Are you with me? We were made for his pleasure. We were created for his pleasure, and nothing else will satisfy you. Nothing else. You haven't discovered that already. I'm telling you, nothing else will satisfy you like the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. So in summary, how do we stay filled with his presence? As he said to Moses, "My presence will go with you and give you rest." Let the ache of your heart draw you to him first. No ache, repent. Have some on your face fellowship and let the tears of your repentance soften your heart. Come into his presence with praise and thanksgiving. Thank him for for who he is, for all he's done, and then pray in the Spirit. Spending time in his presence will strengthen you, refresh you, cause you to have confidence, cause you to be focused on doing his will and having his direction. And most of all, it blesses the heart of your heavenly Father. You are made for that purpose. Did you get something tonight? So we need to spend time in God's presence and let his presence go with us so that we're constantly, consistently filled with his presence. Just raise your hands to the Lord. I want to pray this prayer in Ephesians for you. And then I want to, I'll talk to you about something else in just a minute. But I want to pray this prayer. Just lift your hands to the Lord. We're just agreeing. I'm agreeing with the Apostle Paul, and I'm praying that you all may really come to know, practically through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of his divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. God bless you. I just want to talk to you a little bit more before you leave tonight, because I would be amiss if I presented how to come into the presence of God and experience all these things if I didn't make sure that you actually were born again, because none of this is afforded to you unless you actually have made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. So I want to ask you some questions that only you can answer. No one else will know. This is just between you and God. But I want to ask you tonight, if you were to leave this place and through no, you know, fault of your own, your life was taken and you immediately left your body. You're a spirit. You have a soul. You live in that earth suit. And we are an eternal spirit. And once our spirit leaves our body, we're immediately in one of two places, heaven or hell. So you need to ask yourself, if I were to die tonight, where would I be? Where would I go? Would I be in heaven or would I be in hell? And you know, we don't want to talk about hell. We don't want to think about hell. But just because it's uncomfortable for you does not mean that it's not a real place. It was not made for people. It was made for Satan and his angels. But if you choose to keep him as the Lord of your life, you will go with the punishment that he will have for eternity. See, sin came into the world through Adam and Eve. And we're all born into sin. We have a sin nature. You don't have to teach a little kid how to sin. Immediately, they learn no, they learn how to, you know, throw toys, all of the above, because we're born with a sin nature. And that, you know, you have no power over how you were born, but you have everything to do with how you die. And so this time on earth is actually decision-making time, where we decide, do I want to be born again of the Spirit of God and live forever with God in heaven and eternally and on, world without end? Or do I want to stay in my fallen state far away from God and receive that punishment? You would not wish that on your worst enemy. So I'm talking to you tonight. If you don't know where you would be if you died tonight, you need to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life tonight. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, giving him all of your heart and all of your life, I'm speaking to you tonight. Maybe you prayed a prayer as a young child, walk with God for a while, but you've been very far away from God. It's not just a one-time thing that you say a little prayer and then you never have to follow it up with your actions. God, he knows if he's Lord and Savior of your life. You give him all of your heart, all of your life, and then you have a relationship with him not just religiosity. I'm not asking if you've come to church or you grew up going to church, any of that. It's, do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you do, you take on his righteousness. He eradicated sin and death for all those that will receive him as their Lord and Savior. So if that's you, I'm talking to you tonight. If you know you need to come back to him and really give him all of your heart, give him all of your life, and allow him to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're just not sure. You need to make sure tonight. So I'm going to count to three. After I count to three, I'm going to clap my hands. When you hear that sound, your hand goes up. I'm asking, if you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, if you're coming back to God, or if you're not sure, you need to make sure. So I'm going to count to three, and you'll have that opportunity. One, two, three. Raise your hand. All over this place, I see those hands. Very good. Anyone else? I see that hand. Very good. Anyone else? Praise God. I see those hands. Very good. Very good. Well, you've acknowledged before all of us that you know you need to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. So now we need to pray together. So as we stand, I want to encourage you to come up here, and we're going to pray together, and you're going to have the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Be bold. Come on down. It's not enough just to acknowledge your need. You need to pray. So come on down. We'll be happy to lead you into prayer. Very good. Come forward at this time, please. Thank you. Come forward. Come forward. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. This was the best decision you could have made. Very good. Very good. The best decision of your life. Thank you so much for being bold. Jesus said when you confess him before others, he'll confess you before the Father. So this was such a bold move. God bless you. Good job. Good job. We're going to say a prayer right now. And all these precious saints that are so excited right now, they're going to pray this prayer with you. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but you're going to be praying from your heart. And don't worry if you kind of miss a word or whatever. God's seeing that you're giving him all of your heart and all of your life tonight. Okay? So let's bow our heads and say this prayer. Say, Dear Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I give you all of my heart. I give you all of my life. You are my Lord and Savior. Satan, I turn from you. I turn from sin and all that's from you. And I now choose to walk with Jesus and him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. God, you're my Father. Jesus, you're my Lord. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. You made such a good decision. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. Well, we would be amiss if, you know, we just, you know, you're born again, and so you're like a newborn child, and we just like left you at the hospital or threw you out in the street. We want to give you a friend. And we want to give you some free materials, because what do you do next? You know, you're born again, but what's all this Christianity about? So we'd like you to turn left and follow Pastor Joel. He was graciously did the announcements tonight, so you're already familiar with him. Go ahead and follow him, and he's got some friends he's going to introduce you to. God bless you. God bless you. Well, we have just a couple minutes, and I knew I was kind of opening up something when I talked about praying in tongues in the message. And so I want to open it up. We do have our Summer Connect night outside, and there's all kinds of good food waiting for you. And you might be tempted to say, I want to get first in line. But if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've never entered into what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where in the Holy Spirit's fullness, you're going to let him totally baptize you, totally overflow you with his power and his presence to where the gifts of the Spirit will now be available in your life. If you've never done that, or maybe one time you did, and like I said, you said shandala shandala 5 years ago, but it's not a part of your prayer life now, I want to encourage you as we dismiss to come up here, and I have some pastors on staff and some leaders that will lay hands on you, and you'll be filled with the Spirit and have the gifts of the Spirit in your life. It's very supernaturally natural, and you're going to be so amazed at the joy that's going to flood into you and all that you're going to have to strengthen your walk. So I'm going to go ahead and close with prayer and bless you. I guess we're going to, this is the part I always get. Anyway, go ahead and raise your hands to the Lord. But when you are dismissed, if you want prayer, go ahead and come on up. Father, we thank you for your people. Father, we know they're blessed coming, they're blessed going. Father, everything their hands touch will prosper. Father, we thank you, and we just say in together and in union that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.